Good morning and welcome back to a brand new episode of Motherhood on Mondays with me, your host, Jessica Olsom. Welcome back, friends, and welcome back to season 3 of the podcast. I am so glad to be back and feeling healthy. If you didn't know, or if you don't follow me over on my Instagram, over at Refined Purpose, I just got done being really sick. I had pneumonia and it just hit me so hard. We had maybe like 3 weeks of just not being well in January. And so I'm so glad that I can be here and be talking and not be losing my breath, because it was touch and go there for a little bit. But how are you guys doing? I hope that you guys are enjoying your 2024 so far. So far, I feel like 2024 has been kind of a dud for us, because for the majority of January, we were all sick. And as a mom, if you're a mom and you have kids, you know when you're all sick, the first thing that goes out the window is any schedule and any routine and like any motivation. So we're currently working on getting back onto a good routine. So pray for us that we can get back on a good routine here. But I have a really cool topic today that I want to talk about. And today's topic, I'm going to talk about the number one thing that most Christian moms are missing in their walk in 2024. And you're probably like wondering what that could be. And you're probably thinking, oh, she's going to say like prayer, or she's going to say, you know, reading their Bible, or maybe you think, you know, it's something like cleaning your house or something really practical. But no, today I'm going to talk about the number one thing that I think that most moms, as Christian moms, are lacking in 2024, and why we should really, really love and cling to this thing that I'm going to be talking about. So let's jump into it. Okay, you're probably like, what is she going to say? It can't possibly be anything cool that Christian moms are lacking. And so today we're going to talk about how Christian moms lack personal and spiritual discipline in their lives and their spiritual walks. We're going to talk about discipline today. And normally when you hear the word discipline, you apply that to like kids. You're probably like, Jessica, is this a podcast of like how to parent my kids? And I don't honestly talk too much about parenting on here. I mean, I do, but I don't. I don't necessarily talk about parenting, but today we're going to talk about how discipline applies to us as adults. And I think that this is something that is really missing in most people's lives. And I think primarily the reason it's missing is because I think just in general, we don't like the idea of being uncomfortable or correction in itself. And I've talked about this in podcasts in the past about how we should be women that love exhortation and admonitions because they're just so good for us. But in general, no one likes to be corrected. Let's be honest. No one likes to be disciplined. You know, our kids don't like discipline. But also, as adults in America, it is prevalently preached to be comfortable, to enjoy life, to be happy, and that we should not do anything that makes our lives and our days unpleasant. And this is something that I think really is important in the Christian aspect of our worldview, is to have a correct perspective on what we should be expecting of our lives. And a lot of the times the problem with that is we just want to be comfortable and we want to be happy. And that's not bad, but it's not necessarily fitting within the guidelines of what sanctification looks like in the Christian walk as God refines us. And so discipline is something that is so important, and it's something that as moms, I think we really struggle with because we're bombarded with constant messages in motherhood on Instagram and on Facebook about how we deserve breaks, how you deserve to just take a rest, and how we should go easy on ourselves, and how The housework can wait, the hanging out with your friends can wait, and you should just sit on the couch in your pajamas because you deserve it. And it's a constant message that we kind of almost preach to ourselves on already. Let's be honest, you know, we constantly say things to ourselves as moms, and we don't realize that we're really preaching messages to ourselves subliminally when we say, oh, I'm too tired to do that right now because I lack sleep, or I'll do that later when my kids are older because it's too hard when they're younger. And we don't really realize the flip side of constantly coaching ourselves of that message is that we are conditioning ourselves and we are programming ourselves with a message as a mom that is kind of contrary to scripture, you know, that doesn't actually go along with the lines of what God admonishes us to do in scripture. And when you coach yourselves with those messages of, I'm just going to sit on the couch in my pajamas, it's just too hard, I can't commit to that ministry because my kids are too young, and I can't do that because I'm too tired, really, we're kind of saying that we don't really want to be disciplined. Now, whenever I say things like, oh, you know, you're just making up excuses to not be disciplined, there's always inevitably someone that's like, well, Jessica, you don't know my situation. Now, look, discernment goes hand in hand with being disciplined and knowing and discerning the right moment that you need rest. So these are all skills we have to exercise hand in hand. But right now we're talking about discipline and the fact of, like, as Americans, we are conditioned to be undisciplined, and we are conditioned to take the road of least resistance in our lives. And I actually read a book a couple years ago that was actually so convicting to me on the view of discipline for myself as an adult. And it's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And it's by Donald S. Whitney. It's actually a book that my church worked through. And it talks about spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole book. I'm just going to reference some parts in here that are really, really good. And in chapter one, this whole book is talking about disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And so I'm going to reference to just chapter one of this book. And the first chapter of this book is called The Spiritual Disciplines for the Purpose of Godliness. And there is this quote on page number one of this book, and it's by Raymond Edmond. And it says this, quote, ours is an undisciplined age. The old disciplines are breaking down. Above all, the disciplines of divine grace is derided as legalism, or is entirely unknown to a generation that is largely illiterate in the scriptures. We need the rugged strength of Christian character that can come only from discipline. So, how true is that quote? We are growing up in a generation that just views discipline almost as this legalism, that it's so legalistic to preach about needing to be disciplined. And it's unknown to us because we're largely illiterate in knowing the scriptures. And what we really need is the strength that comes from Christian character that can only be built up from having discipline. And I really love his opening statement of this book that says, discipline without direction is drudgery. And he goes on to give this kind of example of this boy that was enrolled in music lessons, and how he goes and he sees it and he thinks about how stupid and clunky his hands feel, and basically about how if you have discipline without, like, direction, it's going to feel like drudgery. So you need to know what the purpose of the discipline is. And so when it comes to the Christian life, he says, many believe or feel as Kevin did towards guitar practice. It's discipline without direction. You know, prayer threatens to be drudgery, and the practical value of meditation on scripture seems uncertain. The real purpose of discipline, such as fasting, is often a mystery. And so first, we must understand what we shall become. So, you know, why are we talking about discipline? And it's so important because we discipline ourselves, you know, and it's crucial to understand that it's not our pursuit of holiness that qualifies us to see the Lord. Rather, we are qualified to see the Lord by the Lord, not by the good things we do. So in this chapter, he just talks about, you know, how, why it is so important to understand the direction of discipline. And he explains here that we find the clear answer in 1 Timothy 4:7. And to 1 Timothy 4:7, and this is NASB, says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. In other words, if your purpose is godliness and godliness is your purpose, if you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, for he makes godliness your purpose, then how do you pursue that purpose? And according to this verse, you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So why do we discipline ourselves? And we learn here in 1 Timothy 4:7, it's for the purpose of godliness. Discipline is required for godliness. And so it is just so important to understand why we have the purpose of disciplining ourselves. And godliness, being like Jesus, is the purpose, but the God-given path to that purpose is through certain activities found in the scripture known as spiritual discipline. And to put it another way, there are specific practices we do to sometimes that cultivate generally being like Jesus all the time. So this book just is really great because it goes over all these different disciplines of the Christian faith. And I'll share with you what this book says are some really good disciplines in the Christian life. So we talk about Bible intake for the purpose of godliness. We talk about prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, learning, and persevering in the disciplines for the purpose of godliness. So basically, the purpose of discipline in our Christian life, which is found here in 1 Timothy 4:7, is to discipline and train ourselves for godliness. We need discipline so that we can grow in godliness and becoming more like Jesus. And that is so, so important. And a lot of us really just lack that as moms because it's uncomfortable. And I actually received this book, and it is a children's book, and I thought that this was a really kind of accurate way to show you what the world says discipline should feel like and why it's so important to have a godly view of discipline. Because the Bible explains discipline, and we know that discipline is uncomfortable. Discipline is crucifying the flesh. Discipline is correction. It is an uncomfortableness of crucifying our sin in ourselves, killing the sin in our lives that is trying to make us comfortable and complacent and not grow in godliness. And so this is a worldly example of this, of why the world twists everything in the Bible and tries to get you to buy a cheaper version of it. So for Christmas, I got a book that is a parenting book, and there was really well intention behind it. And it's a book that's a parenting book, and the whole purpose of it is from a behavioral standpoint, but it's written with a worldly focus in mind of mental health and emotional health, which those aren't bad things to know and understand. But we also need to understand that when we read things, we need to interpret it through the lens of the Bible. So that way you're able to read this book and have the correct definitions of things that are biblical. And this book is called No Drama Discipline. And so right from the bat, you can read that they take no drama discipline, as discipline should be something that is no drama, right? That it's almost kind of cheapening the word discipline, lessening the blow of the negative connotation that comes with discipline. Of discipline shouldn't have to be dramatic. Discipline shouldn't have to be uncomfortable, right? Let's make it not be that. You know, it shouldn't have to be hard. It shouldn't have to be difficult. And when it comes to parenting, I think they say this because, you know, disciplining is hard. It's not fun to discipline your kids. And a lot of parents don't like the uncomfortableness that comes with having to discipline our kids. But I think it's also important to remember, as Christian parents of faith, we need to shoulder the responsibility that discipline is going to be uncomfortable for us, because it goes against our sin nature of not liking to do things that are unpleasant for us. We need to recognize that, but also recognize we are called to do what God has called us to do as parents. We need to obey God, even if it is disciplining ourselves to discipline our kids, and even if that makes our sinful flesh feel uncomfortable. So right away, you just see they're trying to redefine biblical discipline of it shouldn't have to be uncomfortable. And they say the whole brain way to calm the chaos, right? Calm the chaos, calm the sin, and nurture your child's developing mind. Now, up front, is that a bad thing? No, it's absolutely not a bad thing to want to nurture your child's developing mind. But should it be the whole brain way to calm the chaos? Or should we be approaching discipline the biblical way? Because we know, you know, it's important to understand our children's brain. Of course, a three-year-old doesn't have the developmental understanding that a seven-year-old does. So it's important to understand the limitations of our kids, but we should be responding to that biblically in an eternal focus and not in a worldly way. Now, this book actually has some really good common sense things in it that if you were to read it, you could glean some really good insightful knowledge, which is great. I'm not saying to throw the whole book out, but I've definitely gotten some parenting books that talk about discipline and just twist what discipline is. So in one of the main opening chapters of this book, it talks about discipline and the definition of discipline. And so they basically break down discipline to discipleship, which is true. The word discipline does break down to mean discipleship. But this is also another really important moment of understanding scripturally and more well-rounded with what the Bible talks about with discipline. Because to them, if you're just going to say discipleship, which when you derive discipleship from the word discipline, you're just going to think that that just means, okay, discipleship, coming alongside, really, you know, relationally with my child. And I actually have a video that's going to be coming out on my Instagram that talks about why discipline and discipleship go hand in hand, but they're just different things. And this is also a really important key here to dive into actually the Hebrew and Greek definitions of discipline, because the English derivative of these words are really, really shallow. When you dive into the Greek and Hebrew, there's many different ways that words are defined. And just like the word fear has multiple different connotations to it and derivatives to the Hebrew and Greek, so does discipline. But to understand discipline, we also need to read through the Bible and have a well-rounded view of it to be able to accurately assess what discipline is in our lives. So Proverbs 10:17 says, "Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray." So this here says, you know, whoever heeds discipline, it shows the way to life. So if you're going to heed discipline, you know, you're going to find the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So we see discipline here is telling us that it's going to bring the way to life. But if we ignore correction, which this is telling us here, correction is a part of discipline, you're going to lead others astray. So that's a really important thing to recognize here, is you not only want to read one verse, you need to read the whole Bible to bring that into the full context of Scripture. Because when you look at the fullness of Scripture, which in general is reiterating through four main components, you need to understand those components and then to have this good grasping concept of how discipline falls through in that and what the biblical definition of discipline actually is. So in the Scripture, the main components we see are: 1, creation, God creating man; 2, the fall of man, men choosing to sin, falling away from God, being separated from God in our sin. Then we have 4, redemption, God sending Jesus to die on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins, to take our place so that we can stand before God declared righteous. And then 4, consummation, God bringing us back to him. So we need to take that in discipline into consideration with that fullness of scripture of those 4 elements of needing to understand how that plays into it. So we also see here Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. So here we go, another example of discipline being put with correction. So we can kind of derive here that correction is going with discipline. So something is happening here that is getting corrected, whether that is a wrong belief, whether that is a sin, whatever the sin is. Maybe the sin is a practical sin of, you know, you spending your money unwisely. We see here that whoever hates correction is stupid. So we need to know that while no drama discipline sounds really, really great, that it shouldn't be uncomfortable, we know by looking at scripture that it's going to generally come with a correction, a course correction, and that's going to be uncomfortable because generally that means you are addressing sin in your life, or you're addressing laziness, some sort of belief system that is keeping you from living out the fullness of scripture in your life. So another verse in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, I'm not going to do a deep dive on this because this is a very hot topic, and I believe that this is something you should discuss privately with your husband. But here we see there is a form of correction here. Yet again, it's saying that whoever spares the rod, correction, the discipline, whatever, hates their children. So this is applying to our children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Discipline is active. Discipline isn't passive, and it is not going to just be no drama discipline. It is going to take a course correction here. And so we need to really understand discipline and its part in our life. And in our spiritual disciplines, we see that that discipline is to grow us in godliness and in holiness and to make us more like Jesus. So now we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I wanting to become more like Jesus? Am I wanting to grow in holiness? Okay, if the answer to both of those questions is yes, we need to therefore love discipline in our lives, and we need to be careful to discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness. And so it is so important, and discipline is mentioned so many times in the Bible, and even in Revelation 3:19 it says, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. So God disciplines those he loves. So we should be disciplining ourselves as well as moms. And a lot of the times in our lives as moms, we really fall into the trap that Satan just makes being comfortable so alluring to us in our lives. And so a big issue I just see in moms is that we're undisciplined both in prayer, in fellowship, in hanging out with other moms. We're undisciplined in keeping our homes. We're undisciplined with when we go to bed. We're undisciplined with our exercise. We're undisciplined with what we eat. But if we're going to have this godly view of what the purpose of discipline is, we need to love discipline, and we need to grab on to discipline and really work on disciplining our physical bodies and our physical flesh and discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness. And so this is something I just wanted to talk about because it's just so important, and it's something that as a lot of moms, we make a lot of excuses about, and we excuse our houses being messy. We excuse not hanging out with our friends. We're undisciplined with hanging out with friends, or we're flaky, or we're undisciplined when it comes to reading our Bibles, or we're undisciplined with prayer because it's just too hard, or we're just too tired. And in reality, we have not had a biblical view of what discipline is and where it fits in our lives as Christians. And so I also just wanted to read one last verse about discipline and why it is so important for us as Christian women of faith. So Hebrews 12, 10 through 11 says, "They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness." So yet again, this is telling us the purpose of discipline. We know we need to understand that discipline is not going to be pleasant, but it is so that we can grow in holiness, which in turn is going to sanctify us and make us more like Jesus. So all those things are good things. So where do we need to adjust our perspective to make our perspective fall in line with what the Bible says our view of discipline should be? So verse 11 here, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So, you know, I have this, you know, worldly book that tells me no drama discipline. It's discipleship. It doesn't have to be drama. It can be comfortable. And what we see is that that's not biblical, because we see here in Hebrews 12:10 that we know that God disciplines us for our good. And we also see here that no discipline seems pleasant at the time. You know, so often we don't want to put the rod to ourselves. We don't want to put the iron, you know, the hot iron to ourselves because it's unpleasant. But if we have a biblical view of what discipline is, and if we trust in God, if we trust that his plan and his will is best for us, that also means loving discipline and loving the uncomfortableness of it, because we know it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness, and a byproduct of that righteousness is peace by those of us who have been trained by it. So if you're wanting peace in your life, if you're wanting to grow and be more like God, you need to learn how to love discipline as a Christian mom. So I want to encourage you today to introduce discipline into your walk of faith as a mom, whatever that looks like. Maybe it is disciplining yourself in prayer. Maybe it is some spiritual disciplines. And I want to share this book with you again. If you want to buy it, if you want to do it, there's a workbook that goes with it. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, and it's by Donald S. Whitney. It has a workbook that goes with it, and it walks through all of the different Christian disciplines of fasting, prayer, meditation, solitude, fellowship, evangelism, serving. It walks through all the spiritual disciplines, but I want to also encourage you to be disciplined as a mom in your life, in the day-to-day. Be disciplined to not just lay in bed until your kids are getting up. To be disciplined, you know, God, I think a huge thing Christian moms forget is, you know, we're quick to jump on board about being moms. We're quick to jump on board about God wanting us to have lots of kids to be fruitful and multiply, but we forget that God wants us to be excellent in those areas. He's not just asking us to drudge around. He's not just asking us to drag our feet in those things in obedience. He wants us to be great at those things. He doesn't just want Christians that are a bunch of lackluster Christians. He wants to see us be excellent in those areas. So not just having four or five kids saying, "I did it, God, I had all my kids, but now I'm gonna sit on the couch and not fold my laundry. My house is gonna be falling apart, but I did my part, I obeyed." No, he wants you to discipline yourself for righteousness and for the purpose of godliness and holiness. So he wants, you know, he doesn't just want the bare minimum and then to see you say, "I did it, I did my part, now I'm gonna rest, I'm gonna be comfortable, I'm gonna be lazy." He says, "No, now I want you to discipline yourself, because the byproduct of that is righteousness, holiness, and peace," which is a great byproduct by those people who have been trained by discipline. So here's my challenge to you, is to don't be a mom that lacks in discipline. Discipline yourself for the sake of righteousness. Discipline yourself to not complain. Discipline yourself to not be lazy. Discipline yourself to steward your home above the bare minimum. Steward yourself to not believe the lies that you just deserve to sit on your couch in your pajamas. Now, practice discernment. Be wise. You're going to need days where, yeah, you sit on your couch in your pajamas. But challenge yourself in your Christian walk this year to be a Christian mom that does not lack in discipline, to have a biblical perspective of discipline, and know that the purpose of discipline is to grow you in holiness and godliness, and that there's a great payoff in that, is that you're going to have righteousness, and that as you discipline yourself, you're going to grow in peace when you are trained by it. God disciplines those that he loves. Don't take the world's view of no drama discipline. Have a biblical view of what discipline means. And I hope that I could explain what biblical discipline looks like. It's uncomfortable. It's crucifying our flesh. But the byproduct of that is righteousness, holiness, godliness, and you reap the peace and the reward after that training. And you can know that God is faithful and God loves you because he is working out discipline in your life. So where do you need to apply discipline in your life as a mom? Maybe it's in taking homemaking seriously. Maybe it's in cutting back on your spending. Maybe it's in your attitude with your kids. Maybe it's in laziness. Maybe it's in the spiritual disciplines that I talked about. But whatever it is, my challenge to you, have a biblical view of discipline and learn to love biblical discipline in your life. Learn to love the uncomfortable pleasantness of it and to reject the world's definition of what discipline should look like. So that's a podcast, guys. I hope that this could encourage you to be disciplined in your life and to learn how to use discernment well and to have a good biblical view of what discipline actually means in the Bible. And we see that it is meant to grow us in sanctification and in righteousness. So before we go, let me pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this podcast. Lord, I just challenge any woman that's listening to this that they would just learn to love discipline and that they would strive to be disciplined in their Christian walk this year, wherever that is for them, and that they would just find friends that they could lock arms with to be disciplined and in walk out their Christian faith and excellence this year, Lord, that we just wouldn't grab to the world's definitions of what discipline should be, that we would strive for a biblical definition of what the Bible says discipline should be in our lives. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow me over at Refined Purpose on Instagram and share this podcast with a friend. Rate the podcast so that we can get some more ratings here. And I will see you guys next week. Bye, guys.